But first, I'm going to invite Evie Hamilton up to give us our first reading. And Evie's going to read to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, well done, everybody. I think we can do a better round of applause than that, can't we? Yeah. Wasn't it great? And I'm so glad that you helped us to see the whole of the Christmas story, because we're going to have a couple of talks now this morning, and we're going to be thinking about that story, but particularly about some of the characters that appeared in it towards the end, really, some of the ones that appeared towards the end, particularly the wise men, or the Magi, as they're also called, and King Herod. And the reason I want to think about those two groups of characters just for a little moment this morning is because of this big question that's asked. And the question that they're asking is, who is the king? Who is the true king? We saw a lot of crowns up the front, did we? I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 if we count the star. That's kind of a crown, isn't it? But the question is, who is the true king? Now, we're in a church, and it's Christmas. We can probably guess the end of that question. But I was trying to think about the Christmas story this week, particularly from the angle, the point of view of the wise men. Because, and maybe this has an obvious answer, but why did the wise men do what they did? Why did these men come all of this distance to this little kingdom called Judea to find a king? What made them do that? And I think it's a really interesting question. There's a hint in our Bible verse. I want to read just two of the verses that Evie read for us so well earlier. Here, this is the start of Matthew chapter 2, where it said, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea," you see it up on the screen, "Magi," or wise men from the east, "came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" It's a really straightforward statement. There's a hint here of why they've come. Tradition holds maybe that they were stargazers. They were people who watched the stars in the sky to try and predict the future. And that sounds very strange to us because we know so much more about space and what's going on up there now, although there's still so much that we don't know. But it was a big tradition for people to try and look at the sky and work out what the future was going to be like. Now, I was thinking about this during our summer holidays. I wonder if we can have a picture up, Greg. Does anyone know where this is? Anyone here know what this is who isn't related to me? Anyone want to guess? Shout it out. It's the Bay of Tapestry. Thank you, Thomas. You can always rely on the BB captain. He's going to get there for me. It's the Bayeux Tapestry. This is in Bayeux in France. It's this huge, long piece of cloth that's 1,000 years old, nearly 1,000 years old, and it's basically an ancient comic book. If we see the next pictures, it's basically an ancient comic book or a graphic story. If you've studied the Normans in maybe year 8, year 9 in school, you'll know this. And it tells the story of how William the Conqueror became king of England. But in the middle of it, you'll see on the left-hand side of the screen here, I've got a box around it. There's a picture of a star. In England, in May 1066, they saw a star moving through the sky for about a month. And they took it as a really bad sign. King Harold, who was the king of England, he's in the right-hand side there pulling an arrow out of his eye. That's towards the end of the story. King Harold was king of England, but when people saw this light moving through the sky, they took it as a really bad sign that change was going to come. And surely enough, a few months later, William the Conqueror and the Normans conquered England. We know now that the star wasn't a star. It's something called Halley's Comet. Has anyone ever heard of Halley's Comet? Who isn't related to me? Thanks, John. We've been talking about this all week. Halley's Comet appears is a comet that goes around the sun, and it comes close enough to Earth every 70 years or so that we can see it. And people thought it meant something really bad was going to happen. Now, I was born the year it last showed up, but I think things have been okay. It's due to appear again about 2061. If you're still here then, look out for it. People in England saw this star in the sky, and they took it as a bad sign. But the wise men saw a star rising in the east, and they took it as a very good sign. They took it as a sign, we don't know why, but they took it as a sign that a king had been born, and so they come to Judea to find this king, and we saw our wise men do that. Now, where did the wise men go looking for a king? Where would you go trying to find a king? Anyone got any ideas for me? Where's this? Where would we go? A palace, yes. You might go to a palace or a castle to try and find a king, and that's what they do. So they go to Jerusalem, they go to the palace, and they find a guy called King Herod, and they ask him, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? Herod, did he react well to it? Was Herod happy, did we see? No, he was not, that's right. And we'll hear more about that in a little moment. But some of his advisors look at the Bible, they look at a book called Micah, they look at chapter 5, verse 2, and they say, well, it says here that if a king's going to be born, he's going to be born in a place called Bethlehem. So off they go. They go to Bethlehem. They find this family. They find this little boy. And they know that he is the king. So what do they do? Well, our Bible tells us that they bowed down and they worshipped him. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. No ifs, no buts. They came looking for the true king. They found the king, and they worshipped him. But what about the other guy? What about the other king that they'd just spoken to? Well, we'll think more about him in a little moment or two. But we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and we're going to sing our next item of praise together. And it's going to be Come and Sing the Christmas Story.
Comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, a weeping and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more.
Thank you, Rachel. So we thought about one group of people already. We thought about the wise men. And we heard that they came looking for the true king. They found the true king and they worshipped him. It's all over so quickly in our Bible verse, it seems really straightforward. But there was this other person, this other king called King Herod. And I want to just think about it from Herod's point of view for a moment. Because we heard, didn't we, how angry Herod was when the wise men came and asked him this question, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Why didn't Herod just tell them to clear off? Herod's been king for nearly 40 years at this point, history tells us. He has built up the kingdom. He's rebuilt some cities. He's even renovated the temple in Jerusalem. He's in a position of some comfort. How come when these random guys just turn up from the desert way off out to the east, he doesn't just go, get out of here? Why is Herod so upset? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Well, I was thinking about it. I want to show some pictures here to help me think about it. It's not a trick question. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Yeah? It's King Charles, that's right. Why is King Charles the king? Well, it's because of this person, the next person we see. Who's this person? Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth was Charles's mum, and so when Queen Elizabeth passed away, Charles becomes the king. Why was Queen Elizabeth the queen? Well, here's the next picture. That's a harder one. That's a harder one. Because her dad, George VI, was also the king. And so on it goes back. George VI king because Edward VIII, his brother, was the king before him. Their dad, George V, was king before. And on it goes back about 300 years before it gets very complicated and very German. And that's what gets a laugh. Great. I know the crowd I've got here in Hill Street. Brilliant. So King Charles is the king because his mum was the king. And it passes down through family trees like that. Unless you're King Herod. Because King Herod's king, father, was not the king. King Herod the Great of Judea wasn't from Judea. And King Herod, who was acting as king of the Jews, was not born a Jew. Herod actually comes from another region called Edom, in the Old Testament name. Edom were used to be the enemies of Israel. But the Romans had made Herod the king of Judea. And so I think, whenever these men from the east, these wise men, these important-looking men, turn up at his palace and say to him, where's the one who's the true king? I think Herod's a bit afraid. I think he's a little bit worried because everything that he's got is now being threatened. And so what does Herod do? Well, we heard Rachel just read for us, didn't we? There's this horrible episode where Herod also tries to find the true king, just like the wise men did. But he doesn't want to find him to worship him. He wants to find him to kill him. Herod had no interest in a true king. Herod definitely did not want to worship a true king. He wanted to stay king. And so what did he do? Well, we'll think a little bit about it more in our third talk in a moment. Just before we do, we're going to stand and we're going to sing again. See him lying in a bed of straw. And after that, Oliver's going to come and bring us our third and final reading.
Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven.
Thank you, Oliver. Jesus asks this most important question. Who do you say that I am? Well, we thought about the wise men first. Who did they say that Jesus was? Well, they found him. They went looking for that true king. They found him. They believed him, and they worshipped him. But then we also then had Herod, also looking for the true king, but who did not want to believe in him, and who certainly did not want to worship him, but wanted him gone. Wanted him gone altogether. Wise men looking for a true king. The wise men are sitting here. Herod didn't want anything to do with a true king. Two choices, two reactions, two types of people. And can I tell you something? You and me have exactly the same choice as the one that faced the wise men and faced Herod. There are loads of different things that people in the world choose to believe, choose to trust in, to give meaning to their lives. But none of them are like this story. None of them are like the story that the children acted out for us this morning. None of them are like the story that we've heard read for us. Because the Bible isn't about some things that sound good and sound nice and we'll try and do them. The Bible isn't just about 12 rules for life. The Bible is about, and the whole thing spins on, a historical fact. These moments in actual time. When Jesus was born, when Jesus lived, when Jesus died, we celebrate that at Easter, of course, don't we? And came back to life. And of course, the Bible tells us, and we heard recently again in one of our catechism questions, that very, very many people saw it and said, this is fact, this is true. And so, like the wise men, and like Herod, we're not being asked to place our trust, our belief in a series of ideas or some kind of political philosophy. Those big words are for the parents, not for the kids. I appreciate that. We're being asked to believe in a moment, in a person, in a thing, a fact. The historical fact we have to think about at Christmas is that Jesus came, and therefore, like the disciples in the reading that Oliver just read for us, we have to decide, well, do we believe it? Do we believe he is the Son of God? Do we trust him? We know he was definitely here. We know he definitely died. We know lots of people said he definitely came back to life. So do we believe him? Do we think he's the true king? Well, the Bible also tells us, doesn't it, that because of who Jesus is, this makes him the only way that we can be true friends with God. Because of sin, because of all the ways like King Herod, that we want to make ourselves little kings, little queens of our lives, because of all those things, we need Jesus. We need Jesus to forgive us for that and to make us clean. And so we have this choice. Do we believe? Do we trust Jesus like the wise men? Or do we reject Jesus like Herod and say, no, I'm the king. I'm the only king of my life. The amazing news of Christmas is that God sent Jesus to earth to make it so that all we have to do is to trust him, to pay our homage to him as king, to say sorry, ask him to be king of our lives. But just like the wise men, the very best thing we can do is to worship him. The Bible said, didn't it, that the wise men were overjoyed. They had this total over-the-top joyful reaction to meeting the true king. And for every one of us here, boys and girls, children of all ages, for every one of us here, I pray that you would know the completely over-the-top joy of knowing Jesus as your true king. He is ready for us. He welcomes you. He will change your life forever. Let's pray for a moment before our last song. Let's pray.